Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Florida lawsuit is challenging the Centers for Disease Control's pandemic rules for cruise ships. Federal officials say if the lawsuit succeeds and the court tosses the CDC restrictions, it would have the unintended consequence of banning cruises to Alaska this summer. From the Alaska Energy Desk, Eric Stone reports.
The state of Florida sued the CDC in April, aiming to eliminate the agency's pandemic restrictions on cruise ship travel. Those rules are outlined in the CDC's evolving Framework for Conditional Sailing, often called the Conditional Sailing Order. Florida, along with the states of Texas and Alaska, are asking a federal judge in Tampa to throw out that CDC order. They argue the agency has overstepped its authority. But lawyers for the CDC say Congress implicitly approved the agency's cruise ship rules when it passed a law last month waiving a requirement for Alaska cruises to stop in Canada. As the law passed, several cruise lines announced plans to sail to Alaska starting in late July. That law, the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act, is written narrowly. It applies only to cruises from Washington to Alaska prior to next April, and critically, only applies to cruises approved by the CDC under the conditional sailing order. And so, the CDC argues, if there's no conditional sailing order, that would, quote, end cruising in Alaska for the season. Attorneys for Alaska say the state firmly disagrees with the CDC's assertion, but their brief doesn't say why. In its own filing, Florida disputes that Congress approved the CDC rules when it passed the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act. The case continues in U.S. District Court in Florida, June 10th. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
The state continues to confirm COVID-19 variant cases. The latest Department of Health and Social Services genomic surveillance report shows the detection of 51 additional cases of the B.1.1.7 or UK variant, which the agency describes as being seen widely, resulting from out-of-state travel as well as secondary and community transmission. The DHSS also lists 6 additional cases of the P1 or Brazilian variant, 6 cases of a California variant, and 1 new case of a COVID variant strain first identified in New York last fall. Alaska sequences positive COVID test results targeted as potential variant cases through contact tracing, as well as a sampling of other positive tests. Meanwhile, the DHSS announced 57 new Alaska resident COVID cases Friday. Among the new cases logged Thursday were 4 in Tok, 2 each in Delta Junction and Fairbanks, and 1 in the southeast Fairbanks census area. There were additionally 3 new non-resident cases statewide. 5 new COVID hospitalizations were announced Friday, with 20 diagnosed and 1 suspected virus patient in Alaska hospitals. 5 patients were on ventilators. The National Park Service is beginning a field assessment of hazardous materials at the Kennecott Copper Mines National Historic Landmark in Wrangell-St. Elias National Park. The mine primarily operated between 1901 and 1938 and was inherited by the Park Service in 1998. Park Research, Stewardship, and Science Team Leader Mark Miller says past environmental investigations identified a range of hazardous materials at the site.
Presence of lead and arsenic-based paint on historical buildings, asbestos-containing insulation, widespread filling and dumping of mine and mill tailings, which have elevated concentrations of heavy metals. There are a number of petrochemical-type spills. A big one of note is presence as well of blasting caps and fuses from historical operations.
A 2019 exposure assessment focused on air quality found the site was not a hazard to people, but Miller says additional information is needed.
Beginning this summer, we'll be initiating a 2-year field investigation to obtain more comprehensive data regarding the nature and extent of contamination. And the information gained will be used to help us assess risks to the public and employees, and help us consider things that we can do to more comprehensively remediate the site for long-term use.
Miller says the field work will include air and soil sampling, noting that there are tailings and dust containing heavy metals, and the site is posted with warning signs.
The message is avoid contact and use proper hygiene. Wash your hands and wash your face after you've visited the site, especially before eating.
Miller says some higher risk areas have been fenced off, including north of the iconic mill building, where there are blasting caps and fuses. He says the range of issues at the mine will require a multifaceted remediation approach, adding that the site's remoteness is another challenge.
At the end of basically a 65-mile plus dirt road from Chitna out to Kennecott, it's going to be a logistical challenge if the cleanup involves removal of large volumes of material.
Miller says the hazardous materials investigation is being conducted by Park Service personnel and Lower 48 contractors and is being funded by the U.S. Department of Interior. Today's Walter Harper Day, honoring the Alaska Native mountaineer and guide who was the first person to summit Denali. Alaskans are celebrating the day with work on a new statue of Harper in a special episode of the Molly of Denali TV show. KUEC's Robin reports.
This is the second annual Walter Harper Day, passed into legislation in April 2020. Senator Click Bishop, who sponsored the bill, said Walter Harper left an indelible mark on Alaska history when at the age of 20 became the first person to stand atop a summit of Denali on June 7, 1913. Alaska historian Dr. Mary Erlander stumbled onto Harper's story when researching Hudson Stuck, the English immigrant, cowboy, and Episcopal archdeacon of the Yukon. But it was Harper's story, she thought, that needed more telling.
I thought, this is a spectacular story. People need to know about him. Every school kid should learn about Walter Harper.
She wrote the book, Walter Harper, Alaska Native Son, published in 2017. Erlander was the director of Arctic and Northern Studies at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. In 1913, co-leaders Hudson Stuck and Harry Karstens put together the team of Robert Tatum, Walter Harper, who was Stuck's Athabascan assistant and guide, and two 15-year-olds, John Fredson and Isaias George. It took about 3 months to get from Fairbanks to the top. Fredson and George maintained the base camp for 4 weeks while the expedition team summited Denali. It was Stuck who thought that an Athabascan should be the first to step on the taller southern summit. A group of Alaskans has formed the Walter Harper Project. They have a website, walterharper.org, and are taking donations there to help erect a statue. Earlier this spring, Doyon Limited put $25,000 in the pot. Spokesperson Sarah Obed says that's because Native history matters.
We really hope to educate the public about Walter Harper and his accomplishments and his life. We view his leadership as something to emulate.
Obed says Doyon has also offered a home for the statue near the Chena River.
It's a prominent landmark here in Fairbanks and homeland of the Athabascan people, and it'll be a really great place for community members and tourists and visitors to learn about this part of our history.
The committee has selected Gary Lee Price to design the Walter Harper statue, which is scheduled for unveiling a year from now on Walter Harper Day 2022.
And we wanted to convey that energy and enthusiasm and love of life and love of nature that Walter had.
Those also inspired a special one-hour episode of the children's animated series Molly of Denali, airing today on PBS Kids.
We've been learning a ton about mountain climbing.
We want to show you we're ready for Denali.
Erlander says it's not just the summiting of Denali that makes Harper remarkable, but his complement of subsistence skills and character traits.
Here's a guy who is universally admirable, whom every Alaskan could feel proud of.
Harper was only 25 when he and his wife, Frances Wells, died on the steamer Princess Sophia when it ran aground in Lynn Canal in 1918. The couple were on their way to the Lower 48 so Harper could attend medical school. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.